great music. 88.3 Southern FM.
Can almost see it, that dream I'm dreaming, but there's a voice inside my head saying you'll never reach it. Every step I'm taking, every move I make feels lost with no direction. My faith is shaken, but I gotta keep trying. Gonna keep my head held high. There's always gonna be another mountain. I'm always gonna wanna make it move. Always gonna be an uphill battle. Sometimes I'm gonna have to lose. It ain't about how fast I get there. Ain't about what's waiting on the other side. The struggles I'm facing, the chances I'm taking, sometimes might knock me down, but no, I'm not breaking. I may not know it, but these are the moments that I'm gonna remember most, yeah. Just gotta keep going, and I gotta be strong. I'm always gonna wanna make it move. Always gonna be an uphill battle. Sometimes you're gonna have to lose. Ain't about how fast I get there. Ain't about what's waiting on the other side. It's the climb. Yeah.
And welcome. It is the High Performance Show. My name's Andrew Jobling, and welcome on this Saturday, the 29th of August, 2009. You just listened to Miley Cyrus, and that was The Climb. Quite an inspirational song, actually, if you spend a bit of time listening to the words. It's all about overcoming obstacles and getting the best out of your life, and that's what the High Performance Show's all about. Every Saturday, we're here, 1 till 2 p.m., hoping to give some hints and tips to help you get a little bit more out of your life. I'd like to thank Chris, who just was on for the last, I think he was on for an hour or so, Trade Tips. I had a bit of a listen, and Chris, perfectly honestly, I've got no idea what you're talking about, but I'm sure it's good, and I'm sure it gave some ideas and hints to people out there trying to be a bit more handy around the home. Well, it's just after 4 o'clock. 4 o'clock, it's actually 1:04 on Saturday, and it's a chilly Saturday, so it's a good day to be inside listening to the radio and getting some inspiration. We have inspirational guests every week, and this week is no exception. I am sitting in the studio with a very good friend of mine, and I'm not going to introduce him yet because I've got to blow his trumpet a little bit. And this is actually a little bit intimidating for me because the gentleman I'm about to speak to has had about over 20 years, 25 years experience in radio.
Oh, probably about 14 years.
Okay,
commercial radio, got a bit of community radio as well thrown in. But I'm out of the game now, so it's been a while
since
I've been on the air.
You're back. So, this gentleman, so 14 years experience in commercial radio. He's done stuff with Triple M.
Yep.
You've done stuff with Fox. You've had your own shows on Joy. You've worked with people, big names, Grubby and Dee Dee, Martin Malloy, John Blackman, just to name a few. So. This gentleman, I'm a bit intimidated because I'm just on my L plate still. So I think he's taking notes and he's looking at me going, "What are you doing, mate? This is radio." He's been on radio. He's an entrepreneur. He's a very successful business owner, inventor. He's a bit of a I always have trouble with that word, philanthropist. But I guess one of the things we're really going to get in and talk to him about today is he's been able to really create an incredible life of balance and made a big move. He's come all the way today from Balan. Now, if you don't know where Balan is, it's not in Melbourne. It's actually a good hour and a half train ride from Melbourne. Please, I'd love to welcome to the studio Mr. Patrick Bonello.
Andrew Nicholas Jobling, what a pleasure. Look, are you really talking me up there? So I feel like I need to really perform today.
Well, mate,
yeah,
just
put the pressure on there.
Just understand that that's the only bit of talking up you're going to get. The rest is now you're going to give back, right? But I'm sure as you're listening, you can tell Patrick's had some experience on radio. You can tell he's very relaxed, looking very comfortable in that seat with those headphones in front of that microphone. Now, Patrick, firstly, welcome.
Oh, thanks, Andrew. Look, it's really great to be here. I feel a bit like a Jedi Master who stood back for his Padawan, and here you go, you're taking the reins. No, it is exciting to be here.
So, just to let you know, and I warn everyone that comes onto the show each week, is that my goal is to get inside your head.
You're welcome to it.
All right. Now, the doors are locked. You can't escape.
Right.
And the goal is to get in there and dig out some gems.
Okay.
Because we want to share. We're a caring sharing. This is the caring sharing show. I call it the high performance show, but we're the caring sharing, loving, giving, we love everyone show. And so we're going to look at some of the stuff you've done. You've done a lot of great stuff in your life and find the lessons and see where maybe people can take something out of that. You okay with that?
Absolutely.
I know you're a giving person. In fact, you're an extremely giving person. And we will talk all about that sort of stuff. Now, the first thing I want to talk to you, mate, is about your radio, because you said that did you actually start working on radio 13 years old?
Actually, it's interesting, isn't it? The first time I ever had a foray and what really got me into radio in the first place was when I was a kid at school and we had a drama study assignment and it was to do a radio play. So me and a group of mates got together and we wrote a radio play and we performed it in class. We put it on tape and then we performed it. But we didn't know this, but the teacher, our drama studies teacher, had actually entered our radio play into the 3AW Radio Play Festival.
Wow.
So unbeknownst to us, we were the best in the class, evidently.
Of course.
And they so then we had to perform it at the Royal Melbourne Show in front of a live audience. And,
fantastic.
And we didn't win the competition, but I was commended by the judges, so it was a bit of a standout there. And I think that's when I got the bug, and I must have been about 15 at the time.
Why were you so good? What did you have that, what was the thing about you that stood out?
I think the thing about radio was the theatre of the mind, and I'd written a science fiction play, a radio play that was based around science fiction. So I think from that perspective, it was just theatre. I mean, I don't think I could be on the stage, I don't think I could be on television, but being behind the microphone just opened a whole new world, and I loved listening to talk radio as a kid. You know, I loved listening to John Blackman and Uncle Roy. Do you remember Blackers and Uncle Roy? Yeah, so they were. I was inspired by that. So having been kind of, you know, had the old ego stroked a bit by the judges, I thought, I'm going to write a letter to John Blackman and say, you know, how do I get into radio? And it was school holidays, and I get home from spending a day in the city with my mates, and Mum said, oh, you had a phone call this morning from John Blackman.
And yeah, that's a reasonable phone call to get.
The jaw dropped, and it's like, and this is a guy who was the number one breakfast host in radio. Wow. He called me at home, and of course, I wasn't there at the time. And Mum said, that's okay. He said, he'll call you again tomorrow. So suddenly...
Did he call?
Yeah, my absolute idol, like this guy that I kind of aspired to be. And so I had a chat to him, and I ended up going to the Melbourne Radio School. So I was only about maybe 15 or 16 at the time. And one of the teachers at school knew that I was interested in radio and then got me involved in a community radio station out in Melton. And I volunteered there during 11 and 12.
So 15, so you have, because you're, you know, you don't look it, but you are in your 40s.
I am in my 40s, yeah,
so 42. You've got over 25 years experience in radio.
Oh, that's a frightening thought, isn't it? Yeah.
So I was right. I love it when I'm right. And Patty, the thing is, you don't mind me calling you Patty, do you?
No, of course not.
You know, the thing is, you have got a fabulous head for radio.
Well, it takes one to know one.
Mate, you know, I'm only kidding, of course. Now, you said to me you actually were running your own radio station at the age of 19.
Well, I'd been volunteering at the community radio station, and I really wanted to get into radio. And so what I did was I applied for the station coordinator's position in year 12, hadn't finished year 12, and I thought, yeah, I'll just apply for it, and got the job. So I finished school on a Thursday and took over as station coordinator on the Monday. And, here I was, 19, running a radio station, and we had three other staff who were all older than me, so a researcher, a receptionist, and a trainee broadcaster, and all of them were, like, the youngest one was, like, you know, 5 years older than me, and the oldest one was, like, 30 years older than me. So it was interesting. It was
fantastic.
A good time.
And
it was
exciting. You've worked with some pretty amazing people. You talked about John Blackman, but Grubby and Dee Dee?
Oh, yeah, Grubby and Dee Dee. Tracy Bartram.
Now, that would have been interesting.
Can I tell? I wonder if I can say this.
You can say whatever you want, mate.
Tracy Bartram, the very first time I met Tracy, I was working with another journalist who I'm not going to name because she still works in Melbourne Radio. But we were both in the tea room at Fox, just making ourselves a cup of tea, and the station manager walked in with Tracy Bartram, and I'm sure Tracy won't mind me saying this, and so the introductions were done, and Tracy was introduced to me and then introduced to my boss at the time, a woman, and the first thing Tracy said was she looked at the person and said, gee, big tits. And of course,
well, she was talking to you.
No, to my colleague, to my boss. But it was just like, that was just Tracy. She's just out there.
Yeah.
And she was an interesting person to have there. Because I mean, I was doing news. So I was breakfast news editor at Triple M, but Triple M and Fox were both in the same building. Mm-hmm. And our newsroom ran out of the same office. So it meant that I was actually upstairs. Even though I worked for Triple M, I was upstairs at Fox.
Yep.
So that was an interesting time, yeah. And really colourful characters.
Yeah.
You know, you hear them on the radio, and more often than not, they're not what they appear.
Of course.
Dennis Walter, classic example. The very first station I ever worked at in a commercial station sense was in Geelong, and I worked at a station called 3GL, which is now K-Rock, and I was there for the transfer from AM to FM. Mm-hmm. That was a really exciting time when you're a kid.
Yep.
You know, I was only, must have been 20 or so, and suddenly we were going to FM. It was like, wow, that's cool. And Dennis Walter was there, and, you know, a typical example of someone turns on the microphone, one persona, turns off the microphone, totally different.
Amazing.
So that was really fun. But everyone's a performer. And again, you asked me why I liked radio, because getting in front and performing.
You can perform.
But even, you know, like when I first wanted to get into radio, my parents were dead against it. Like, you know, working class background, grew up in Coburg.
Mm.
And so when I got, you know, when John Blackman said to me, oh, look, why don't you try going to the Melbourne Radio School? Mum and Dad said no. And so I decided I was going to pay for it myself. It was like $400 or $500, which is a lot of money when you're 15.
Yeah, absolutely.
And they said I couldn't go, so I forged Mum's signature.
Good.
And then I was sneaking out at night. So what I was doing is, I'm going a bit early, I'd close the bit, I'd take the fly screen off, jump out, and then go into the city and do the course, and then come back home on the train, like tram, you know, maybe 11 o'clock at night, and sneak back into the bedroom. And I did that for the first 3 weeks. And
wow.
Then I got sprung.
You sneaky. and probably the fact that, you know, you've had... supposedly had 15 hours sleep, and you look like you've had 30 seconds sleep, maybe gave it away a little bit.
Yeah, could have been. But I got sprung sneaking out the window, and then when they realised how much I'd paid for the course, which is like $500 or $600, they said, oh, you better keep going.
Oh, see? Sometimes it pays to be dishonest. Anyway, on that note, we're going to go to a song and be back to speak to Patrick shortly. This is The Four Seasons with Can't Take My Eyes Off You.
You're just too good to be true. Can't take my eyes off you, you'd be like heaven to touch. I wanna hold you so much. At long last, love has arrived, and I thank God I'm alive. You're just too good to be true. Can't take my eyes off you. Pardon the way that I stare. There's nothing else to compare. The sight of you leaves me weak. There are no words left to speak. But if you feel like I feel, please let me know that it's real. You're just too good to be true. Can't take my eyes off you.
By Leader Newspapers, who via localfooty.com cover all the Community League football. Localfooty.com. The best player today will receive a $40 Rebel Sport voucher courtesy of Leader Newspapers. Leader Newspapers and the Southern Football League, a great combination.
Hi, this is Kate Soprano with a tip about oil and water. They don't mix. So please don't pour cooking oil or fat down the sink. It's just not the place for it. Instead, put your used oil in a container and throw it out with the rubbish. Remember, anything that goes down a drain that isn't water is a pollutant. So think before you pour. The future of water is in our hands.
Yes, we should know better.
Yeah. 88.3 Southern FM. It's groovy.
Yes, it is groovy, and it is Southern FM. Listen, Patrick's the... I'm sitting here with radio... expert Patrick Bonella, who's going to give us his very special radio voice intro into the next session. Here is Patrick.
Oh, okay. It's 19 past one. This is Southern FM 88.3. You're on the High Performance Show with Andrew Nicholas Jobling and special guest today, Patrick Bonello. Is that right? Is that what
That's
you wanted?
Brilliant, mate. You're good. You are good. And the great thing, during that song, Patrick's been giving me some hints. You know, so if you notice that I'm not popping anymore, it's because I'm talking on an angle to the microphone. Because Patrick said, well, maybe if you did this, mate, you wouldn't pop all the time. I said, well, I don't want to be popping off in the studio. So so that's a great tip. Thanks, mate, for that. Now, we're just speaking to Patrick Bonella, who's come all the way from Balan.
Yep.
He's, whoa. We're going to talk to you later about Balan.
And moving.
And moving. change, that sea change.
We call it a tree change.
Yeah, because there's no sea in the land, is there? No, so it's a tree change.
Yeah, lots of trees there.
But that's good. So we'll talk to you about that, because that's a really important thing we want to focus on. But I just want to go back to, you know, you've had on your years in radio, you've been exposed to some pretty amazing people. You mentioned a couple to me. You said you you've interviewed Pseudo Echo.
Yes, I did.
And tell us about the invitation you had from them.
Pseudo Echo, I must have been probably 20, 21, and went out there to do an interview, and then they invited me back to their room to smoke some pot.
And?
Although I didn't go, because I had to get up early the next morning, and it's just, it's one of those things, should I or shouldn't I have gone back to the hotel room? I mean, I don't know.
Like, to say you've smoked pot with Pseudo Echo, that's one of those things you tell your grandkids about.
You know another person I interviewed who was the nicest gentleman, I think, Sterling Moss.
Oh, yeah.
The Formula One racing car driver.
Oh, okay.
What an amazing guy. Just really, really, really lovely.
And you mentioned you've had a fair bit to do with Ted Whitten. Tell us a little bit about that.
EJ Whitten, what an inspiration. When Teddy Whitten, I was working at Geelong, and being a journalist, I had to go out. It was a grand final day, and my team was playing in the grand final.
Don't tell me, what year was it?
1990.
Oh, you know Barry for Collingwood, do you? Right, out. Get out.
Okay.
Microphone off. Unplug. You're gone.
So what happened is, I'm out there in the morning doing interviews.
Collingwood forever. Sorry.
Right. So I'm out doing interviews and trying to scalp tickets at the same time.
Of course.
Right.
Of course.
I didn't have
tickets. As you do.
Well, how do you get a ticket to the grand final? So I'd been out scalping tickets while I'm doing interviews with people, then feeding all the audio down the line, but couldn't get a ticket. Gets to midday. So the footy team is sitting out in our broadcast van out the front of the MCG. And then they were due to go into the game at 12 o'clock. We had to go to get ready for go to the studios. And EJ Whitten turns to me and says, "So, son, you're going in for the match?" And I said, I'm not going, Teddy. He said, "How come?" I said, "I haven't got tickets." And he says, "You have now, son." And he pulls two tickets out of his top pocket, just like that.
You've got to be happy with that.
Because
EJ,
every morning I used to do the Teddy Whitten's comments, and he was bitching during that week about people asking him for tickets. So there's no way I would have ever asked, because he was chairman of the selectors at the time. And yeah, I almost started crying on the spot.
Did you
Teddy
hug
Whitten?
No,
not Teddy Whitten.
God, I reckon if you hugged him, he would have smashed you.
Probably. Did you ever meet Teddy Whitten at all?
Never met him.
When you shook hands with Teddy Whitten, he had this iron fist, this grip. Break three fingers, and he'd just force you to the ground.
Yeah.
It was just a running joke. So when I first met him, you know, everyone's waiting expectantly. And I was like everybody else. You know, fingers are broken and I'm on the ground sprawled. But I got to know him after that. And the other thing that I really found interesting, I had to panel one of his shows once when he was calling football, and they said to me very explicitly, "Do not leave the microphone on. As soon as Teddy throws to a break, as soon as Teddy says, 'And we'll go to a break,' turn his microphone off." Because the first word out of his mouth would usually start with the F. Yeah, absolutely. And it was true. Like, he swore like a trooper, but as soon as the mic was on, he was perfectly fine.
Sweet as a mouse.
He was great.
So, mate, just to wrap up your radio career, what have you got out of it? What's the thing that you've got out of it most?
Oh, gee, that's a really tough question, Jobbers.
Good.
I think I was very privileged because radio gave me a lot of independence, in so much as being breakfast news editor at Triple M, it meant that I started work at 4 a.m, but I was finished at 10 o'clock and I had the whole afternoon. So what it did was it opened up a whole different part to my life, and it meant that I was able to go out there and start up my own business. So that was one really good thing.
Fantastic.
And, you know, being a journo, getting in the morning, and you would read maybe 40, 50, 60 stories before you even started writing your own news, because you needed to know about what was going on. And, you know, I covered the death of Lady Diana, the first Gulf War, I remember when that happened, and being involved from a media perspective, when the Twin Towers went down, you know, when the first plane hit the towers and suddenly it was on the news, I got woken up and went to, when we were doing news every 20 minutes. And being, I suppose, at the forefront of all of that, and knowing that for most people, where were you when you heard about Lady Diana dying? Do you remember how you heard about it?
I can't remember.
Any instrumental thing that happened in the media that you can think of that really sticks in your mind, like someone dying or something really big happening? Or what about the Twin Towers? Do you remember where you were and what you were doing?
I was driving to work.
And so you heard it on the radio?
Yeah.
So radio is so much a part of our lives, and being part of that from the other side,
you're right,
knowing that it's such a big thing in people's lives, that was, really, really kind of opened up the world to me in that way too.
And you really have blossomed, haven't you? Because you have, because you run a really successful business. You're a web designer and a designer, and you're a very creative person, but you're also an entrepreneur. Because the thing I like about you, mate, is you're an entrepreneur, but your goal is to help people. So that's why the whole philanthropic sort of...
I really believe in philanthropy. It's one of the things I think that whether you're a volunteer here at a radio station and coming in and doing a show once a week like you do and inspiring people on the radio, or whether you happen to... You know, I'm on the management committee of a local community house in Balland, so population of, what, 2,500 people. But we run a community house, and community houses, neighbourhood houses, are the heartbeat of a lot of communities. You know, yep. Older people, we run programs from computers for people who've never used a computer to people who wanted to get back into the workforce, or they do sewing classes for older people and knitting and stuff like that. So it's especially in a small town, a community house is really, really important. And being on that committee has been fantastic. It's been a really big eye-opener.
And you, and we'll talk about this, I want to talk more about this, but you've... Yep. Mate, you've created a website, and you do a lot of websites. In fact, you've done my website, andrewjobling.com.au. Fabulous website.
Good man, get the plug in.
Yes, and we'll give you, we'll give you your website later as well. But you came up with a website when the whole Greenpeace stuff, you're a big, as I said, really want to make a difference environmentally, yeah. And you came up with a website called walesrevenge.com, and really what it was a... You created a game, though, yeah. Wasn't it? It was a game. It was like a Space Invaders.
Well, it's still there. It's still online. Yeah.
So it's www.walesrevenge.com.
Yep, that's the one.
And it's a petition, and your goal was to get how many signatures?
1 million signatures.
So it was a viral marketing concept.
Yeah.
And look, how many signatures have you got, mate?
Oh, over 1 million now.
So amazing.
Yeah.
Really incredible.
It was fun, but it was also, like a lot of people, I felt powerless at the time when we saw all that footage of whales being slaughtered. And it was at a time when the Japanese were blatantly just turning their back on the rest of the world, and especially Australia, because they're our kind of sovereign waters that they were hunting in. And I just felt powerless to do anything. And I thought, you know what? I'm going to start a petition. So the idea was, play the game, sign the petition, and then send it to your friends. And all I did was I sent it to all my friends. Like, you would have got an email from me asking to sign the petition.
Signed it early days. I think I was in the top 100.
You're up there on the list. And it just and you talked about viral marketing, and it's what basically viral marketing is. I send it to 10 people, they send it to 10 people, and all of a sudden 100 people have got it, and then they send it to 10 people, and 1,000 people have got it. So it's one of those exponential things.
And the other thing is, because there's been periods since you did... When was the website created?
About 2 years ago.
Right, 2 years ago. And in that time, there's been different episodes with whaling, hasn't there? There are times when, like, I remember looking at it and you keep refreshing, and every 30 seconds there'd be another 100 signatures on it.
That was phenomenal.
Amazing growth. So, mate, well done for that. Now, we'll talk more about that. But again, one of the things we talk about on the High Performance Show is hints and tips and ideas and influencing others. You know, one of the things, my goal with the show, and obviously Patrick with a lot of the things he does, is to influence others and get the best out of them. So who has influenced you? Like, and we talked about this yesterday, but Patrick's going to give us his top five people that have influenced his life. This is our top five for the week, but I've handballed it over to Patrick. So tell us, mate, who are your top five people that have influenced your life?
You know, I've been very fortunate in my life, because when I was younger, I had a lot of older friends. And as I got to grow older, and I think I started to appreciate that, you know, like... You have friends around your own age, and that's pretty natural for people to do that. But I think I was a bit of a freak when I was growing up. So, you know, like...
Mate, you're still a freak.
When I was 17 and at school, I was, you know, president of the student council and all that sort of stuff. But I was having beers with the school teachers after school.
No wonder you got such good marks.
Yeah,
were you paying for them?
I occasionally do a shout, I suppose.
Nice.
So I think somewhere along the line, I don't even know how it happened, but I realised that, you know, older people are really interesting. That I could learn from them. And so when I talk about my spread of friends, you know, I've got people that I associate with who are in their 70s that I just love to death, but I also have younger friends who are, you know, in their late teens, early 20s. And I think, and you talk about the top five people who have had influence in my life, and I suppose first would be an ex-school teacher who I kept in contact with, taught me how to surf.
Yep.
We've stayed friends. So for 25 years, we've been really good mates, and we catch up, you know, on the phone at least maybe once every couple of weeks. So I think, you know, this friend of mine, Clem, has been a really strong influence in my life, because he was a very giving person, and I've been fortunate in the people who have been inspirational to me have all been giving people, people who are happy to give of their time. And it's not necessarily material things. It's people who have the time to sit down and ask you about yourself, or they're people who are willing to help you, like teach you how to drive a car. You know, the first time, Dad and I, not happening, you know, a lot of tension there in the family, and that's why I bought a caravan when I was 16 and moved out in the backyard, because I just couldn't live in the house anymore. But I'd been working since I was 13. So I had my own money. I bought my own first bike. And I bought a caravan, as you do at 16.
With no car. Well, that's hard work pulling it around without a car, mate.
Well, I was a real tough teenager to have around because, you know, I did the radio school thing, sneaking out at night. And then I said to the folks, well, I don't want to live in the house anymore. I want to buy a caravan. And they looked at me, like, dumbfounded.
Cuckoo, cuckoo.
No, you're not buying a caravan. So I just went and bought one anyway at Ocean Grove. And a mate of mine towed it down to Melbourne. And I said, oh, I want to put it in the backyard. And they said, well, you can't put it in the backyard. So it's fine. I'll live in the lane next door. And then, of course, Dad said, well, okay, you better put it in the backyard.
You're a rebel. Anyway, listen, mate, we're going to come back and finish off your top five. It is time for a song. But before we do, and for all the listeners, what we would like, part of the we have a competition every week, is for you to SMS or call the studio and tell us what one person has had a positive influence on your life and what that influence was and how that's impacted your life. So who's impacted your life and how have they impacted your life? And that's an SMS to 0414 973315. That's 0414 973315. Or you can call in the studio on there it is, 958 3053 958 3053. So get on the phone, get on your mobile, send us an SMS. We would love to hear about who has influenced your life. It is currently 1:30 p.m. and this is one of my favourite songs of all time. It's KT Tunstall with Suddenly I See.
Yeah.
Australia Ignites with Helmut Lotti's 2009 National Tour. Don't miss the smooth vocal talent of this international sensation and his Philharmonia Orchestra in this not-to-be-missed event. Helmut Lotti plays the Palais Theatre St Kilda, Friday 2nd of October. Tickets through Ticketmaster on 136 100 or book online at ticketmaster.com.au. Sponsoring Southern FM.
Did you know that 97% of Australians rely on other people to donate blood? That means only 3% of people listening now actually roll up their sleeves and give. The rest of us just put our feet up. If you haven't given blood before, there are people who need your help now. Please, become a blood donor. Call the Australian Red Cross Blood Service on 13 14 95 and make an appointment today. Please, don't ignore the need for blood.
Your voice in the community. The Great Southern Sounds of Melbourne. 88.3 Southern FM.
And it is Southern FM. It's a high performance show. Currently 1:35 on Saturday, the 29th of August 2009. It's a bit chilly out there. I'm looking out the window. There's a bit of rain. It's a good day for footy today. The Southern Footy League match of the round will be coming at you live straight after young Patrick and I have finished the high performance show. And I'm sitting in the studio with Mr. Patrick Bonello, a very good friend of mine. We've been mates for a long time, mate, haven't we?
It's been a while.
Well, way back.
More than a decade.
More than a decade. Yeah. And I think I actually used to train you, didn't I?
I used to hurt
you a lot.
A lot. And we enjoyed hurting each other, in fact. We hurt together.
What about that? What about Gun Friday?
Gun Friday.
We used to do stupid stuff for our biceps and triceps. We had no other body parts that looked anything but our... We had
big biceps, big triceps,
the Popeye arms. Anyway, we're currently talking to Patrick at the moment, and we're talking about, I guess, influence from other people and people that have... You know, one of the things I often talk about is the importance of associating with the right sort of people that will inspire you and empower you and influence you to do things that you may not normally do in a positive sense. Now, we're talking... Patrick's telling us about his top five, and his number one was he's a teacher of his.
Yep, a guy by the name of Clem Barris.
I wonder if Clem's listening.
No, he's on holiday in Queensland.
Oh, how rude.
I know,
that's all right. You can go to my website and listen to it.
You can.
We've mentioned Clem. Okay, so who else, mate?
Well, a guy I went to school with by the name of Michael Bernardi, who was a lovely, lovely guy, and I say lovely in the past tense because Michael died in his late 20s, and he died of a really severe form of stomach cancer, which was pretty gruesome, and it was an awful time from him when he was suffering quite a deal, as you'd appreciate. I know that your mum battled with cancer for a long time. But Michael was one of the most generous, giving people I've ever met. And I think, people go through their teens and their early 20s and can be a bit selfish sometimes. Michael was never like that. And, when you think about people being stolen away from you at such an early age, it felt like a travesty.
Mm.
But his message, the message that he left with me, just will live with me
on.
So much so.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, I've got to say,
fantastic.
Really amazing. And another schoolmate is also on my list, a guy by the name of Jeff, who has been my best mate since grade one.
Wow.
We literally bumped into each other in the yard in grade one. He just started...
Did he try to steal your sandwiches or something? Or?
No, I used to con him out of his peanut cookies. His grandmother made the best peanut cookies, and I used
had
crappy stuff for morning tea, and I'd always kind of just managed to manipulate it so that I got his peanut cookies and he got whatever crap I had.
Yeah, good.
Yeah. And Jeff lives in Adelaide now, but we call each other at least once, twice.
Well, because
a week.
He doesn't want you to get any more of his peanut cookies, mate. He had to move further away from you.
But he's married, he's got three kids, and his oldest daughter's now got a kid as well, and they're all living at home. And he's the hardest working bloke I've ever met. Like, seriously, I've never met anybody who works harder than he does. And no matter what happens, he's always got a positive disposition.
Mm.
Amazing guy. So he was another person. And and I'm going to name drop here.
Oh, here we go.
Yeah. I had to.
Seriously, if you can, do it. Yeah, That's what I say.
You know who I met?
Who?
Princess Diana.
You did not.
I met Princess Diana. How good's that?
Yeah, she asked me out on a date.
But no, the funny thing was, when I met her at the time, I felt like I'd been diddled because she was only Lady Diana Spencer at the time. To come out on a visit to Australia, I was one of the school representatives to go to the Melbourne Museum and to meet the royal couple, right? No, they weren't the royal couple at that point. Anyway, so Prince Charles walked straight past me.
Oh, how rude.
Rude bastard.
how pompous.
And then the other half comes over, introduces herself, says hello, and that's Lady Diana. But at the time, she wasn't that famous. And then years later, when I started to, you know, you kind of felt a connection there, you know, I followed her. And she was an amazingly wonderful lady. And I know that the media kind of sensationalised a lot of that. But, you know, a young kid at 16 meeting this person who was to become, you know, really what was Britain's Rose.
Absolutely.
What a phenomenal now, woman she was.
Mate, do you feel like that the influence you had on Lady Diana Spencer maybe
don't get in the car
inspired her to be the amazing person that she turned out to be? Do you think you have a little bit of a claim to fame there?
Andrew,
you may as well take
Andrew,
it, mate. Claim
Andrew,
it.
No.
Oh.
No.
I would have claimed it.
No.
Mate, you know what? I'm actually, you know
I'm
how
fooling
I,
myself here.
You know how I played footy for St Kilda about over 25 years ago and we couldn't win a game? Well, yeah. I'm claiming some you know, positive responsibility for the fact that they're on top
absolutely.
Of the ladder, two games
yeah,
clear.
You went on you there know. To great things, though. How many premierships did you win with Elwood?
Almond,
yeah, Almond, that's right.
Yeah, a few.
You were champion.
Yeah, but it's not about me, mate. It's not about me. Let's get back to you, shall we? So, okay, that's four. Who's is your it? Last one, mate? Yeah, you've got one more.
Jeff Lewis,
your teacher,
Clem,
your two mates,
Princess
and
Diana.
Princess Diana.
Oh, my sister-in-law, Laurie.
Come on.
I got back from Canada only about about a month ago, and I'd gone over there specifically to catch up with my brother. Nice guy, of course. He's my brother.
Yep.
But his wife's fantastic. and I hadn't seen her for a while. No, I hadn't seen her for 6 years because the last time I caught up with her, she was suffering breast cancer and had just gone through radiotherapy. Mm. And she's since written a book about it. But she's one of these amazing people who has a sense of aura about her. And, you know, you walk into a room and sometimes people just attract you by their themselves. There's something about them. And Laurie's one of those people. So she wrote this book about her battle with cancer called Across the Void, through cancer
fantastic.
And into life. And again, just she's been amazingly inspirational. She does feng shui and she's a hypnotherapist. She believes in natural healing.
Yep.
And in her book, she talked about the conflict she had with natural healing and conventional medicine. Mm, and I found that really interesting as well. So so many people are touched by cancer. It's a frightening thought that most of us in our lives will be touched either directly or indirectly by cancer in one way or another. So when you have somebody who inspires you in that way, then it's hard not to take notice.
It is. And you know, all those people that you've spoken about, with I guess with the exception of Lady Princess Di,
just Diana, yeah.
You know, it's just
They're just run of the mill
people, and to influence someone, you don't have to be famous.
No,
you don't have to be famous like myself and your good self, Patrick. You can just be someone with a heart for people, and even a kind word. You know, just a nice gesture.
Yep.
Just an example that you set by the person that you are, it will influence people forever. And I know, you know, my mum inspires me every day, and my dad also, just by the people that they are. They don't do anything special other than just... So, I mean, that's a really important lesson.
My cousin turned 30 recently, not long ago, and all her friends were there for her birthday. She's got a little shop that she's opened up in Brunswick, and she was there, and that's where they had the party. And a whole lot of her friends had gone to school with her, and I went along for the party, and they're all saying, "Oh, Patrick, remember when you came to our primary school and spoke about radio?"
Did you feel old?
Oh, mate, did I feel aged? But isn't it funny, though? And I only vaguely had a, you know, vague recollection of going there. I mean, they might have been in grade six or so. They were quite old. They were, you know, old enough to but I had...
Checking you out.
I can't believe that they all remembered it so vividly. Yep. A lot of them said to me, all you know, that they'd seen me there, that, you know, it was great. We really, you know, we were inspired by you. And that... Sometimes from the other side of it, if you think of yourself as being inspiring to other people, it feels like a mantle that's kind of difficult. It's a big responsibility. It's something of a burden. You know, not that I go out and influence lots of people, but when you think about it that way.
But it's not. All you have to worry about is be the best person you can be. So if you focus on you, other people will be influenced. Now, so just a reminder to listeners, please, 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 we've had a couple of SMSs come in, but SMS to 0414 97 3315. I just forgot the mobile number there for
0414 97 3315. Call Andrew Jobling that. No.
In a very special radio voice. Esme, please, we want to hear from people who has influenced your life and how have they influenced
your life.
Did you
want me to read this one out?
No, we'll save it to the end, mate.
Okay. Yep.
We've got a couple already. We'll save them till the end. And then there will be a prize.
What's the prize?
The prize is a book, as a matter of fact, called Eat Chocolate, Drink Alcohol and Be Lean and Healthy. Unless you want to give away something.
Well, I thought you were going to say that the prize is a date with Patrick. The second prize is two
a
dates.
Date or a date with me. Yeah, come on. Now, we're going to go to another song, but when we come back, we're going to talk to Patrick about a couple of things. We're going to talk to him about facing adversity and the challenges that you've had to overcome and how that's helped shape the person that you are. And then we're looking to talk about this crazy thing that you did moving to Balan. So stay tuned. Don't go anywhere. It's 1:44 on Saturday the 29th, and we have now got Savage Garden with the animal song. Ruff!
And cannonballs are running through your head, and television freak show cops and robbers everywhere. Subway makes me nervous, people pushing me too far. I got to break away, so take my hand out, 'cause I want to live like cannonball, careless and free. Upon the shelf, animals and children tell the truth, they never lie. Which one is more human? There's a thought, now you decide. Compassion in the jungle, compassion in your hand. Yeah, yeah. Would you like to make a run for it? Would you like to take my hand? Freak show cops and robbers everywhere. Animals and children tell a truth, they never lie. Which one is more human? There's a thought, now you decide. Compassion in the jungle, compassion in your hand. Yeah, yeah. Would you like to make a run for it? Would you like to take my hand?
Here at Floor World, we have a vast range of carpets to suit your lifestyle.
Like Redbook Colour Strength, a durable solution with added resistance to fading, stains and wear. Or Floor World's Crown Carpets, a great range of textures and colours in wool and nylon. At Floor World, you can update your carpet and it won't cost you the earth.
World! Floor World. We bring our world to your feet.
And ask us now about interest-free finance.
a proud sponsor of Southern FM.
Barney is a dog. He looks like an ordinary dog. Barney doesn't do tricks, but with your help, he can go to guide dog school and learn to perform miracles. Turn a special dog like Barney into a guide dog. Give to guide dogs now. Call the Guide Dog Association on 9854 4444. 9854 4444.
The best blend of music, community news and views. The Great Southern Sounds of Melbourne. 88.3 Southern FM.
Yes, it is Southern FM, and this is Andrew Jobling, 88.3 on the FM dial. Currently, nearly 10 minutes to 2, and isn't time flying? And I'm sitting here with Patrick Bonello, all the way from Balan. It's taking him hours and hours and hours and hours to get here, and our time's almost up.
Oh, I can't believe how quickly it's gone. Gee, you're entertaining.
Oh, thanks so much. I like to entertain myself a lot. And speaking of entertaining, I know we're entertaining someone right now.
Yep.
Patrick and I would like to say hello to Juanita.
Yeah, got a call through. Isn't that great? Or an SMS from Juanita.
Juanita, she's a friend of ours, and she's actually my bookkeeper too. And what an amazing bookkeeper she is. She made sure that I made a comment that she inspired me. She was an inspiring bookkeeper. Yes.
She's good at juggling, obviously, then.
She. Yes, she is. Anyway.
What about fiddling?
We'll leave that one right alone.
Okay.
Now, we are talking to Patrick Bonello. And we've been talking about people who influence your life and who help you through tough times and inspire you onto greatness. And tell us about, because you've had a few tough times as well, mate, haven't you? Like, I guess, all of us have. Tell us about some of your challenges and tell us about what you've learnt from that.
You know, it's funny. You don't really appreciate the good times until you've really been to the lowest difficult times, I think. And I don't mind talking about this now, but I suppose in my late teenage years, I had a real tough time, just a really difficult time fitting in. And it was really, really tough. But I think, like a lot of teenagers now, and sometimes people forget that, there are a whole lot of hormones going through your body and a whole lot of changes going on. And just sometimes kids don't cope. And I didn't cope. I was one of the kids that didn't cope. I had this facade that I put on, at school, and I was president of the student council. I was on the school council. I won the school fellowship award. But behind the whole lot of that was this turmoil that was going on. I was, really at a deep, dark place at that time and felt, and I know teenagers do think about this, and a lot of people think about it in their lives, and I even thought about suicide. It was a really tough, desperate time in my life. And, when you're at a point where you feel like there's just no other option than not being around, and you're at that lowest point in life, it's pretty bad, yeah.
So how did you get out of that?
I was very lucky. I had people around me who picked up on some of the signals. That friend of mine, Clem, who was a teacher at school that I kept in contact with, I used to go down to Ocean Grove and do some surfing down there, and he had a place at Ocean Grove, and he picked up on it. And that really was the one thing that that helped save me, to be honest. Having some people looking out for you. So, sometimes those people who inspire you are also people who can help drag you out of that depth. And it's a depth that a lot of people, face every day, whether you're a teenager. And, we get it out where I am now. We the farmers, for example, whose livelihoods, are dwindling because of the drought and all that sort of stuff. And, people can be hit by depression any time in their lives. And I think realising that and being able to get the support from people who care about you is really important.
Yeah.
So I was very lucky.
What else?
Other things that have shaped my life. I think people you work with can make a big difference. And when I was working in breakfast radio as at Triple M, for example, I had some really good people I worked with, some inspirational people, people who, even though I was pretty green at the time, I hadn't really had a lot of experience, but who fostered that, and people who were, it's easy to try to compete with people all the time and see people as rivals, but when you have a group of people who just see you as a colleague that they want to foster, especially when you're younger, I think that helps you along. And I've been very lucky in my career and things that I've done. My very first overnight radio show that I ever did, first show, petrified. I was so nervous, lifting the needle onto the record. I was shaking so much I had to use the auto cue.
I can't even begin to imagine how tough that must be playing vinyl. I have enough trouble pressing buttons to turn the mic.
shaking so much.
On and off.
I couldn't put the needle on the record. And then at the end of the show, I get a phone call from Dennis Walter, who was doing breakfast at the time, saying, oh, just listen to the show. We've got a few of the guys over here. Come over and have a drink. You know, you did a great show.
Cool.
You know, what a nice thing to do. What a nice gesture. You know, a lot of nice people around.
There are indeed. Now, you were, you know, living in Melbourne and working pretty hard. And then all of a sudden, I don't know, mate, what did you hit your head or something like that, and all of a sudden you decided you were going to sell up and move to Balan.
Yep.
Now, mate, talk us through that decision.
Well, I'd like to go hiking pretty regularly, and one of the places I like to go to is the Wombat State Forest down at Lurdi-Durg Forest.
Yep.
So that whole region there is just fantastic for hiking. It's the Moorabool Shire, and, you know, I'd been out there, I've got a mate of mine who lives out that way, and I just... There's a point in your life where, you know, you're working really hard, and if you've got a mortgage especially, you know, you can't, every month you're looking at the bills, and even more so when you work for yourself, because every month you don't know what you're going to be getting in for a wage. Mm. When you work for yourself, you employ other people, you know, it's a challenge every week. It's every week, every month, but that's an enjoyable part of it too. You've got a lot of freedom. But, you know, I really wanted to be able to live a higher quality life. And for me, moving out of Melbourne meant that I could go to this little place called Balan. It's an hour out of Melbourne on the way to Daylesford, so on the way to Ballarat. And I hike every Monday morning. So Monday morning I go for a hike, maybe 3 or 4 hours in the Wombat State Forest or at Lurdi-Durg. And I also, you know, on Tuesday mornings I do Tai Chi religiously. So these are things that are sacrosanct, you know. Work doesn't start until the afternoon on a Monday. And so really quality of life was one of the things. And I wanted to be involved in the community. And that's one thing you can do in a small town like that. You can get involved. You know, you walk down the street and you do bump into people. You know, I'll say, you know, I'm going to go down the street for 5 minutes to the post office. Well, I might get back for an hour.
Yeah.
Because you're bumping into people and saying good day. And I like that about living in a small town.
Yeah.
It doesn't happen in Melbourne. Melbourne, people are insular. You can live somewhere and not even know who your neighbours are.
Yeah,
you know, I know all my neighbours, and it's a nice, comforting feeling, and I really enjoy it.
And for you, as you said, it's about quality of life, isn't it? And so many people get lost in the hustle and bustle, and they lose sight of really the things that are important to them.
Yeah.
And so there's an enormous lesson, and we're not saying that you have to move to Balan, but we are, you know, what I'm sure Patrick would recommend is you need to make some time and space for you doing stuff you want to do with, you know, get in. And I remember I asked, we talked about writing books, didn't we? And I said, if you're going to write about one thing, what message would you give people? What did you tell me?
I don't know. Can you refresh my
memory? Yes, I can. You said, do you want me to?
Yeah, go on.
You said you want, you know, if you could give anyone a message, it would be to live in the moment.
Yeah.
No, and just enjoy where you're at. So
I think too many people are worried about material things. And that's the other thing about moving away as well. I had an opportunity at one point to become a news director of SAFM in South Australia, which was a real natural progression for me. I've been breakfast news editor. Suddenly I was offered a big promotion with a large radio network. And it was at that point that I decided I didn't want to keep doing this.
Yep.
You know, I didn't want to be in the rat race. I didn't want to be working the 9 to 5. I didn't want to be a manager. What I wanted to do was be able to give myself the ability to be able to go hiking when I wanted to go, you know, rock climbing. I love rock climbing. I do a bit of paragliding, you know. Unlike you're a pretty competitive person, you know, you do all that sort of stuff, you know, the footy, and I know you're inspirational, you are competitive, but I've never been into competitive sports. You know, I hated footy, hated cricket, and I thought that I wasn't a sporting person. You know, I went through school thinking that I wasn't sporting, and suddenly when I left school I discovered rock climbing, I discovered paragliding and hiking, and realised that, you know, not everybody fits into the cube. And that's what the good thing has been about my life, that the people around me encouraged me not to fit into the cube.
Cool. Yeah. All right, mate. Well, listen, we're running out of time and we've got to go a little bit earlier to the Southern Footy League. But what we're going to do very quickly is have a listen to some of these SMSs that have come through. Patrick, you've got one there.
Yeah, I got an SMS through from Michael from Brighton. He said that his uncle used to take him camping, taught him how to fish and how to swim, and he was an inspiration.
Excellent. Yeah. Now, mate, you take note of this because you're going to choose a winner here. I've got a couple of SMSs. One from James saying, my dad has always encouraged me to be the best I can. As a result, I have pursued things in my life that I probably would never have. So that's fantastic. Thanks, James. Juanita has sent an SMS saying, lots of people I've met on my journey towards health and fitness have encouraged her. And we've also got another SMS. Yours was about a grandparent?
Yeah, an uncle.
Well, we've got one from Laura saying, my grandmother always told me to smile. Life is beautiful when you're smiling.
Oh, isn't that good?
So isn't that beautiful? So, mate, pick us a winner.
Well, you know, I think the relationship between a father and son is really an important one, and sometimes fathers don't realise how important everything they can say and everything they do will influence a young person. So I reckon, James, it's great you've got a good relationship with your dad.
Okay, James, well done, mate. You've got a book coming your way. Now, mate, Patrick, thank you.
Oh,
mate,
pleasure.
It's been fabulous. I can't believe the time's gone so quickly and we've got to go, but thanks, mate. It's been fantastic having you here.
I feel proud and privileged to be on the show.
And you've given me some hints and tips.
Yep.
You're sort of my mentor, my radio mentor. And can you see, you know, like I'm really blossoming along. So anyway, this is the High Performance Show. It is Saturday the 29th. We'll be back same place, same time next Saturday, 1 till 2. Now, we will have a special Father's Day edition on the High Performance Show next Saturday. I'm trying to convince a special guest to come on. So stay tuned, be there. And we'll see you next Saturday on the High Performance Show. Thanks again, Patrick. And it is now time to go to the Southern Footy League match of the round.
You're listening to the best variety of music on the station. It sounds great to me. 88.3 Southern FM.
You're listening to 88.3 Southern FM.
And now we cross to Clayton Reserve for the broadcast of the Division 2 qualifying final, South Yarra versus Oakley Districts. As we say, good afternoon to our comrades.